بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله ما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So in the previous lessons we've been having a lengthy discussion of al-qada wal-qadr, and Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, he's dedicated a lengthy passage at this point in his treatise to do with the issues with al-qadr. So we discussed many of those issues, and the discussions continue still on the topic of Al-Qadr. And so today we start with the statement of Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah when he says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْهِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمْ. So he says, the meaning of which is that we believe, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ, we believe in the lawh, which we translate in English to be the tablet, والقلم and the pen, وبجميع ما فيه قد رقم, and in everything which has been written therein. So as usual, we'll take the brief commentary of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, and then we'll go into some further detail from the speech of Sheikh Salih Al-Sheikh, inshallah ta'ala. So first of all, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, he says that this statement of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, when he mentions the pen, and he mentions the tablet, and he mentions everything which is written in the tablet, that this is something that is a continuation or follows on from the speech that we've been having about al-qada wal-qadr in general, because it's still related. And we mentioned previously that the levels of al-qadr, there are four levels, as you know. There is the level of Allah's ilm, Allah's knowledge, and there is the level of Allah's, the writing of the knowledge of Allah of what is to happen from His creation up until the establishment of the hour, that this is written. So this is the connection of the pen, Allahul Mahfuz, to whatever has preceded. It is part and parcel of our discussion of belief in Al-Qada wal-Qadr. And there's the hadith, the well-known hadith, which we shall discuss in more detail inshallah ta'ala in a short while. But the Shaykh mentions the hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the creation, and when He first created the pen, وَأَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ الْقَلَمْ, He said, فَقَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ, He said to the pen, write. And so the pen said, مَا أُكْتُبْ, what shall I write? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أُكْتُبْ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, write whatever is to occur up until the establishment of the hour. The establishment of the hour. So therefore, the pen wrote whatever Allah commanded it to write of everything that will happen until Yawmul Qiyamah. So pay attention, it is whatever's to happen in this creation up until Yawmul Qiyamah. And the Shaykh then mentions a brief comment, which is, we don't know the reality of this lawh. What is the kayfiyah? What is the haqiqah? What is the nature of this lawh, this tablet? Nor do we know the reality of the pen. How is this pen? What is this pen? How does it write? All these details we don't know. But we believe that they are two creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we believe in them therefore, and we understand that they are from the second of the four levels of Al-Qada wal-Qadr. So therefore, believing in the pen and the Lawhul Mahfuz is essential to belief in Al-Qadr. So to deny the pen, to deny the Lawhul Mahfuz, is essentially a denial of an aspect of Al-Qada wal-Qadr. So that was a brief comment of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. As for Sheikh Salih Al-Sheikh, then he says, likewise, that the qalam has a connection to al-qadr, because from al-qadr is the level of al-kitabah. So we have ilm, the ilm of Allah, knowledge, al-kitaba, the writing of Allah, the writing into the lawh al-mahfuz. We have the mashi'ah, which is the will of Allah, and we have al-khalq, which is Allah creating and bringing things into existence. These are the four levels of al-qadr. So the pen, therefore, has a connection to al-qadr, and the pen, it writes in the lawh al-mahfuz. The pen writes in the lawh al-mahfuz. And so therefore, these two things, iman in al-qadr, cannot be complete except with the belief, with a firm belief in the existence of these two things and in whatever Allah informed us occurred with respect to the creation of the pen and the writing of the pen into the tablet. So a person's iman in al-qadr will not be complete except by these affairs. And we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by the qalam. He swears by the pen in Surah Al-Qalam, which is the 68th surah. In the surah, Allah says, Allah begins, Noon wal qalami wama yasturun. So Allah begins with the letter Noon by the pen. So He is swearing by the pen. He says, by the pen. And whatever they write or inscribe. So the qalam mentioned here in this ayah is the qalam with which the decrees were written. It is the same qalam with which the decrees were written, according to one of the tafsirs given to the ayah. And as for the lawh, as for the preserved tablet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it in the Quran in a number of places. From them is the saying of Allah, Bal huwa Qur'anun Majid. Bal huwa Qur'anun Majid. That rather this is the glorious Qur'an, fi kitabin maknoon. So the Qur'an is in yet another book, another written form, which here is the lawhul mahfuz. And Allah says, la yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. That none but the purified shall touch it. Which refers here to the angels. The angels. And in the Quran, we also see that Allah refers to it as Ummul Kitab. As Allah says, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. That Allah, He affirms, He confirms what He wills, and He erases what He wills. And with Him is the mother of the book. And this, I forgot to mention to you the references for these verses. So the verse referring to Al-Qalam, the pen, is Surah 68. Verse number 2, and the verse about the Quran Majid in the Kitab Maknoon, which is in the preserved tablet. This is a passage in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah 56, verses 78-79. And as for this ayah to do with the Ummul Kitab, this is Surah Ra'ad, Surah 13, verse number 39. And if you remember, in the previous lesson, this ayah, we discussed this in the previous lesson, that Allah affirms what He wills and He erases what He wills. And with Him is the mother of the book. And we explained the issue of how is it, for example, that in one hadith we see that the messenger says, whoever wishes for his rizq to be increased and his lifespan to be increased, then let him tie the ties of kinship. So how can it appear that a person's life can seemingly be increased? Yet on the other hand, we understand and we believe that in the lawhul mahfuz, everyone's time is fixed. And so we explained this issue and we said basically that the decree, that the qadr is of many different levels. From it is that which is in the lawhul mahfuz. From it is that which takes place on a yearly basis, Laylatul Qadr. From it is which happens on for each individual, for each person. So each person has his own decree and the angels write, you know, his lifespan, his rizq, and, you know, the four issues. And so we said that the decree which is in the lawhul mahfuz is fixed. When you are decreed to die, you will die at that point. It won't be brought forward or brought back. But we said there are things that Allah has created which are ways and means. We believe in the asbab. And we meant by the asbab things like, you know, Allah brings about things by other things. Like when you are hungry, food removes the hunger. And when you are thirsty, water removes the thirst. Right? So these are things by which other things arise. And so therefore, in this creation are things which, if you act upon, they have certain effects. And so from those things are that if you eat well and you avoid danger, you will have a longer life. And if you expose yourself to danger and you do not eat well, then you will have a shorter life. This is because we believe in the asbab, or the ways and means. And so once we understand that, we then understand this verse and also the hadith, which speaks about the apparent increase in the lifespan. All of this is actually connected, but we discussed that in detail in the previous lesson. So in these three verses, or in these two passages in fact, Kitabin Maknoon, and likewise the Ummul Kitab, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made reference to the Lawhul Mahfuz. So the pen is mentioned, and the Lawhul Mahfuz is mentioned explicitly in the Quran. And as for the pen, or as for the tablet in fact, the Shaykh mentions that it is called the Lawh because this word represents An-Nur wal-Ida'ah, meaning light and illumination. Light and illumination. In other words, that whatever is within the Lawhul Mahfuz, because it is so apparent and so clear and so conspicuous, meaning that it's no ambiguity, it's whatever is inscribed, then therefore it represents, if you like, a type of clarity and light. And so, as we said, to believe in the pen and the lawh is from belief in the writing, which is the second of the levels of Al-Qadr. And with this brief introduction, there are now some issues, there are some masail, some issues that we need to understand as it relates to the pen and the the lawh. So the first thing that is mentioned here is that there are some ahadith whose authenticity is not firmly established, but the Shaykh mentions them here, so I'll obviously mention them because he mentioned them. And he says that some of the people of knowledge declare them to be authentic, however, it's a matter that needs looking into, and there's not, you know, it's not firmly established with respect to their authenticity. So these ahadith, from them it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created the lawh, the preserved tablet, from white pearls. And it's been described as that its sides, you know, are made of pearls and rubies, and that, you know, that the pages of the lawh are red, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed this preserved tablet on the side of the arsh, as some of the salaf have explained, on the right side of the arsh. And it is besides Israfil, and Israfil does not look into it. So anyway, these are some details. Allah knows best about the authenticity, but I've mentioned them here because the Shaykh has mentioned them here. And likewise, he says that the pen, there are some narrations about the pen, and that the pen is actually made from light, and that its length is as the distance between the earth and the heavens. And as for the Lawhul Mahfuz, then its width, or its length, is as the length between the heavens and the earth, and its width is as the width between the east and the west. So anyway, these are some narrations. Allah knows best about their authenticity. But this is the first issue, that there are some descriptions which have been given, but the narrations are not firmly established. As for the second issue, the Shaykh mentions, which is that this pen that we are speaking of, so this is now an important issue now, you have to, or some important issues now. So this pen that we are speaking of, that Allah mentions here, which is mentioned in the Quran, and there is mentioned in the hadith that we will look at inshallah, this pen relates to this universe. To this universe. And if you remember, we had lengthy discussions in the previous lessons to do with a very great and mighty topic in which many groups went astray: the Jahmiya, the Mu'tazila, the Ash'ariya, the Kullabiya, the Maturidiya, and factions from the Rafida, Shia, and other than them. And this was the issue to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his actions. And can it be said that, you know, the issue of the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say Allah is eternal in his essence, then this also means that his attributes are eternal, because Allah has always been with his attributes. Allah has always had knowledge, power, will, you know, Allah has always been able to speak. Allah has always been able to act. Right? So some of these attributes are what we call lazim. An attribute is lazim when it relates only to the thing itself. It doesn't impact anything else. And some attributes are muta'addi, which means that they require something else, an object, for the meaning to be complete. Right? So we said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal, His attributes are therefore eternal as well. Which means, in basic terms, Allah has always been one who has knowledge. Allah has always been one who sees. Allah has always been one who hears. Allah has always been one who creates and who speaks. So if He is always one who creates and who speaks, this means that it is possible and permissible and acceptable that there have been other things created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before this universe. And for that reason, we hold the belief, which is the belief that is apparent from the Quran and from the Sunnah, that it is possible that Allah has eternally been creating things without, you know, like, as because Allah is eternal, and Allah is eternally one who can speak as He wills, create when He wills, act when He wills, then it shows the possibility that indeed there have been other creations that have been before us. And because of that belief, then when we come to speak about this issue of the pen and the Lawhul Mahfuz, then we understand from that wider context that we are speaking about this creation. Right? So the pen relates to this creation, not the very first thing ever created besides Allah, that Allah created, which is, besides Himself, right? Which is the first entity, created. So we should be clear on this point that when we speak of the qalam is as it relates to this creation. And so therefore we have the hadith, the well-known hadith, narrated by Abdullah bin Amr, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قدر الله مقادير الخلائق, that Allah decreed the decrees of the creation, meaning that He wrote by way of the pen that they were written, قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة وكان عرشه على الماء. So He created, that He wrote the decrees of the creation 50,000 years before creating the heavens and the earth. And His throne was upon the water, or His throne was above the water. So therefore, the pen, this is point number two, the pen, when we speak of this pen, then this pen relates, and what it writes in the Lawhul Mahfuz, it is relating to this creation, and up until the establishment of the hour, when the hour will be established. The third point is that in another hadith of Ubada bin As-Samit radiyallahu anhu, we have another hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمَ فَقَالَ لَهُ أُكْتُبْ فَجَرَى بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ. So this hadith reads, when Allah first created the pen. In fact, this hadith that I've read to you in the Arabic, if you look at the Arabic, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. Now this wording of this hadith is such that it can be read in two different ways. The first way, it can mean the first thing that Allah created is the pen. And the second way it can mean, the second thing that it can mean is when Allah first created the pen, He ordered it to write whatever was to occur. Right? So because of this difference in reading of this hadith, then a difference has occurred amongst the scholars, which is what was created first? Was it the pen or was it the throne? Was it the pen or was it the throne? Because of the wording in this hadith. And as we shall see later on, what is correct is that the hadith should be read and understood as when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, write. Which means that it's not actually necessarily the first thing created. Right? It just means that when it was created, Allah said to it, write. And then it began to write. So anyway, this hadith establishes that the pen wrote everything, فَجَرَى بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ, that it wrote everything up until the establishment of the hour. So this is another hadith, so this is point number three that relates to our topic of the kitaba, of the writing. And so the fourth issue now is, how do we reconcile between the hadith of Ubadah bin Samit, which is this second one, and the first hadith, which was the hadith that we mentioned from Abdullah bin Amr. How do we relate, how do we bring these two things together? Because in the first hadith, it mentions that Allah decreed, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ, and it mentions in the first hadith that the arsh was already present, and the water was already present. Right. But in this hadith of Ubadah bin Samit, we see, or we understand from the wording, that the first thing that Allah created was the pen, as we said that scholars have differed. So how do we bring these two hadith together? And so this is the discussion that we now have in point number four. And so the Shaykh basically says that yeah, so he mentions the difference, so some discussion we can leave that. He basically says that the scholars have differed. Some of them said, and this is the view of the majority. The majority said that the first thing that was created was the arsh, that the arsh was created before the pen. And likewise, the water was created before the pen. So these two things actually come before the pen. This is a view of the majority of the scholars, and it's mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. As for the second view, there are some scholars who said that the pen was the first thing that was created. And this is a group saying of a group of the people of knowledge. But that which is correct, the Shaykh says, what is correct between these two sayings, is that whenever we see a hadith which seem to conflict, we have to basically make them reconcile. Because we know that the speech of the Messenger ﷺ, it can never conflict with each other. Right? The Quran does not conflict with each other. And the Sunnah does not conflict with each other, and nor does the Quran conflict with the Sunnah. So when we know that a text is established, an authentic text, it is established, then we have to reconcile between the two. And so the way that we reconcile between the two, the Shaykh basically says that we understand from the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr that the arsh, and likewise the water, that they were before the writing down. Before the writing down of the decrees. And as for the hadith, أول ما خلق الله القلم قال له اكتب, the hadith that when Allah first created the pen, it is said to it, write. Then this means, as we said, that when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, meaning immediately, said to it, write. And so therefore it wrote, it began to write everything that would happen up until Yawmul Qiyamah. And the Shaykh mentions a point that this same issue has been mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim in one of his books. And then he says that, then he continues and he says that, he gives the same explanation that we gave, that when Allah first created the pen, He said to it, write, and then it wrote everything. So he mentions that again. So coming further, he says that the writing from all of this, what we're discussing then is that the writing is connected to this universe, and this universe, we believe that there are other universes, because universe is part of a type or a species. There are, you know, other types, and so the pen is related specifically to this universe, and so the pen comes before the heavens, comes before the earth. It comes before the Dukhan. The Dukhan. Dukhan is the smoke or the material from which the universe was made. And it comes, you know, from which the heavens and the earth were made. So all of these things came before, you know, they came before the pen. This means, what does this mean? This means, therefore, that the Arsh that the arsh and the water are not connected to this universe. Right? This is what this means. Because the water and the arsh, as we see in the first hadith, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَا. And we see this also, in fact, in the Quran. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ, in this hadith, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَا. This means that the arsh and the water are not part of this universe. Right? They have some, they go further back. And so this is how we understand and how we reconcile these two hadith. And we reconcile these two hadith from the angle that it agrees with the belief of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah that Allah's attributes are eternal. As we said before, if Allah's